time to get to some duck talk. He's the guy who covers football, basketball for the Register Guard. Find his work in the sports section. Catch up online, registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at @SteveMims_RG. Mr. Mims, how you doing today?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Awesome. Loving it. Yesterday you wrote about this massive investigation with arrests and quite possibly just getting started. I thought a really interesting point you hit on was the difference between this and the NCAA taking a look. So from your view, those schools, USC, Arizona, it's different because they don't have the luxury of time and playing the we're looking into it. I mean, they've got some pretty important and fast decisions to make, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I would assume that almost every athletic director in the country probably at least called or sat down with his basketball coach yesterday and said, hey, you got to let me know what we know now because, you know, if anything more comes out, we got to be kind of prepared for this. And if it sounds like they feel like any of their guys did anything that they shouldn't have done, you know, you're going to make the move yourself before you wait for, you know, somebody to do more digging and find it. So I do think that, you know, with Sean Miller and now with Andy Enfield, that both of them have probably been had to sit down with the AD and tell them and try to explain to them what it is. And now the AD's got to sit there and kind of do their own little fact checking and make sure they're comfortable because you want to go into the season with a coach that you feel like in the middle could suddenly be embroiled in even bigger controversy.
Yeah, like we said before, wearing prison stripes. Obviously, this is just getting started, but I want to get a thought, Steve, on baseball. Obviously, the dominant story during the offseason was it going to be yay or nay on the only coach since they resuscitated the program. Coach Horton's deal was set to expire this autumn. So for those who missed, what kind of extension did he get? And do you think, despite some fan frustration, it was the right move?
You know, I think, or you know, he got a 2-year extension, and I think that's probably, you know, the put up or shut up time. I think Oregon, you know, if it's 2 more years like this, it's not going to be an extension again. But I think Oregon baseball, in some ways, is still trying to figure out sort of what the expectation should be for that program. You know, they got off to such a great start. You know, they were in the NCAA tournament in year two, and they were, you know, hosting a super regional in, you know, year four, year five there, and then, you know, when 7 and 8 and are down, then you kind of wonder, you know, well, were the expectations to be overachieve and now underachieving, or is this kind of, so I think that they're kind of trying to figure out just what the expectations would be for the program. I think they're comfortable with Georgia's history that, you know, 2 bad years in a row is probably longer than he's normally had before, so you figure he's going to find a way to get it turned around. And again, it's a 2-year deal, so even if he gets through one, you know, if they have a terrible year this year and want to make a change, you're only really eaten 1 year out of it. And I mean, there's a mutual option between them for a 3rd year, but basically I think it's 2 years to say, get this thing going on the upward projection and then we'll talk from there. But if you can't do it quickly, then it's time to move on.
Good take. As always, from Steve Mims of the Register Guard. To football, the trip to Tempe didn't go well. A lot of opportunities, mistakes, penalties. Let's start there about some of these young guys who have to make a contribution. If you think of Dylan Mitchell, you go to the 2016 spring game, didn't do much during the regular season. Now you've got Nelson hurt, limited experience. So how has his role expanded, and how confident are he and the coaches that he could become that big-time playmaker?
Yeah, I think from the moment Carrington left, and suddenly the impetus was that he was going to be the outside guy, you know, your go-to guy on the outside, and that's kind of what's happened. You know, he was Traylon Nelson in catches, but Nelson's more the inside guy. I mean, Mitchell's kind of the only experienced guy on the outside, and even that experience obviously isn't a whole lot. But I think we've seen him. You know, he's made some pretty spectacular catches. You've seen, you know, some of those. It hasn't been a real high-volume guy yet. You know, he's gotten 5, 6, something like that, but I think he, you know, and they hope, I'm sure that Schuler and Johnson are kind of emerging too, to give them kind of 2, 3, 4 options on the outside where, like I say, once Carrington left, there were no experienced options, and so that's one of the reasons why they moved Schuler over.
Your post-game piece started with what kind of what I warned last week. You don't want to get too nuts with statistics compiled against that less-than-stellar non-conference schedule, third-down defense, you know, which is so huge for a defense trying to rise from last year's ashes. And they didn't get it done against ASU. Steve, what did the coaches and players have to say this week? And, you know, what did you observe about, you know, where they struggled there and how critical it was?
Yeah, you know, it certainly was. I think they knew going in that they hadn't faced a mobile quarterback yet. You know, I mean, Tanner leaves Nebraska, was just going to drop back. Same thing, you know, Josh Allen, we heard a lot about his arm, but it wasn't a guy who was going to get out and I think those two teams combined for like seven, you know, basically quarterback runs, and it was going to be a lot more from that from Manny Wilkins, and you saw it. So, you know, it's interesting with the defense. You know, there's been a lot of talk that, hey, you know, it looks better than last year, but, you know, if you look at it, I mean, they gave up 21 to Southern Utah, which, you know, last year they gave up 28 to their FCS opponent. They gave the same amount this year to Nebraska they gave up last year. They just happened to win that game. You know, and now Arizona State, they gave up more this year than last year. So some of the comparisons just in terms of matchups doesn't really speak out yet. I mean, I think people look and feel like they're playing harder, and obviously they won some games early, so that might have covered up some of the things. But I think we'll get a better idea this week. This isn't a great Cal offense. If this team's able to put up, you know, 31-35, I think some of the concerns come right back.
Yeah, you know, I've heard some of the guys talk this week, and, you know, you talked about some of the multiple three and outs, and when they really needed it. I know some people get a little nervous with that bend, don't break, holding them to a field goal, giving the offense a shot back. And am I correct? Is kind of the attitude, look, there are no moral victories, but there is improvement, and there's reason to think they're turning a corner defensively?
I think so. I think maybe there was less of that this week than the previous ones, like you say. And a lot of that started just wins and losses. You know, I mean, it's like Jim Leavitt said, how do you judge your defense? Well, wins and losses. You win the game, defense played well enough, you lose the game, they didn't. So I think there's some of that. And I think you're seeing, you know, some more corrections this week because there was a loss on the season or on the schedule. And so now, like I say, I think you see moving forward, is this something where, you know, there's a trend and Cal season, some others are seeing some places kind of exploit, or do they get back to a point where next week, you know, Cal's back down to 14 or 10 and something like that? When, you know, Cal last year scored about 52 on Oregon in an OT game. So I think you should have a pretty good chance of making that a team that you scores less against you this year.
You hope so. We're talking Duck football with Steve Mims of the Register Guard. You can spend extensive time scanning a stat sheet. You know, you look at the kind of flags and, you know, the magnitude of them. And the guys this week talk about how damaging they can be, and maybe they're the type that in a week could get cleaned up.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the most damaging ones were those, you know, the false starts and the illegal man downfield on the line. And those kept knocking, you know, 2nd and 10 to 2nd and 15, and then when they're 1 for 11 on 3rd down, I think that was more of the reason, was the trouble they were in earlier than their actual 3rd down production. So, and those are obviously, I mean, a false start and unsportsmanlike for spiking the ball and a, you know, illegal man downfield. Those are certainly the kind of penalties I think any coach feels like you can clean up. But, you know, we've probably said that game to game, and then they're still continuing now 4 games in.
Final thought for Steve Mims of the Register Guard. Great piece today about Justin Wilcox, who we know has been back many times since his playing career end, now as a Pac-12 head coach. You got to speak with his brother Josh and Todd McKim. And for such a young head coach, so he doesn't do social media. This guy is not about hype. So, Steve, I guess considering what he's accomplished and this kind of return home, could the guy be more down to earth and focused on his job?
No, not at all. And that's the kind of thing that stuck out to me is, you know, it just feels like we're in an era where a lot of college coaches, they want to be loud, whether it's social media or interviews or just doing bizarre things like we've seen with guys like Harbaugh, Leach, just to kind of get your name out there so that it helps you in recruiting. And it's interesting. I think part of it is where he's at Cal. You know, I think Cal, you know, David Shaw's the same way. I don't think he's on Twitter. You know, I think those guys kind of feel like at those universities, they're maybe going after more the athlete who's not as much on social media or not needing kind of as much massaging there. So I think that's a part of it to where it's at, but it's also obviously just a part of him. And, you know, if he went in there and started doing something crazy and, you know, jumping on social media, I think it wouldn't be him and that wouldn't help him. So he's going to try to do it his way. It's different than most people are these days, and that's a tough place to win. Hadn't been a ton of success there, so I'm interested to see how he does, but credit him for going in and doing it his way.
Nah, I think it's awesome that he's coming back here as a Pac-12 head coach. You can follow our guest on Twitter. We're on social media at SteveMims_RG and Register Guard Sports Section, RegisterGuard.com. Stevie, always appreciate your time. We'll chat up on Saturday.
Sounds good, Steve. We'll see you up there.
All right, take it easy.